Section 3, South Carolina During the War. As you read, look for challenges facing the wartime government, suffering and scarcity on the home front, the role of women and children in the war, different conditions for the rich and the poor, the perils of inflation, terms, hoarding, speculation, inflation. The early battles in Virginia between North and South went well for the Confederacy, aided by many soldiers from South Carolina. In this state, though, the story was worse. The early loss of Port Royal, Beaufort, and several of the Sea Islands, along with the constant threat of attack on Charleston, left the state reeling. Preparations for a longer war were not going well. Then, unrelated to the war, fire broke out in Charleston in December 1861. Nearly a square mile in the heart of the city burned. Governor Francis Wilkinson Pickens and the members of the legislature faced enormous problems. They had revolted against the United States and were trying to set up a new government when all these disasters piled upon them. No matter how they responded against such odds, their efforts seemed inadequate to their fellow citizens. Early enthusiasm for the war quickly faded with the realities of a few defeats within the state and hundreds of dead and wounded soldiers. Public opinion naturally turned against them. South Carolina government in the Confederacy. The state government took many measures to prepare the state for a long war. It initiated a draft to require able-bodied men to serve in the army because not enough men were volunteering. It required slave owners to provide a certain portion of their slaves to build fortifications and boats on the coast. The government placed restrictions on the making and sale of alcoholic beverages. It bought military equipment from foreign countries, which had to be run through the Union blockade. It encouraged businesses to produce iron products and ammunition for military use. Most of these actions were desperately needed for the war effort, but they restricted individual freedoms and incurred the anger of citizens. The home front in South Carolina. Often, when we think of wars, we think of armies, military maneuvers, battles, and naval operations. By far, the largest portion of the population is not marching and living in camps and fighting battles. The majority of people remain at home, trying to keep the farms, plantations, businesses, and homesteads functioning. They must produce most of the supplies for the fighting forces and the goods necessary for the remainder of the population. The condition of the home front often determines the outcomes of wars. The home front in South Carolina was in trouble early in the Civil War, and the situation only got worse. Most of the able-bodied white men between ages 18 and 45 served in the Army. They were off to Virginia or Tennessee or other scenes of battle. Many never returned, or they came back without an arm or a leg. This left the maintenance of the home front to the women, older men, and children. They plowed the fields, tended the animals, and made the garden produce enough to meet the family's needs. Sometimes they worked without adequate animal power because many horses and mules were taken for military use. Children learned early to take up responsibility for their role in the family's survival. The role of women on the home front. Women were the long-suffering, overworked heroes of the home front. Besides running farms, many women served in positions usually held only by men, especially in nursing, teaching, running businesses, and working in factories and government offices. One Confederate colonel wrote after the war, "It was upon the women that the greatest burden of this horrid war fell." He suggested that the monuments built to commemorate the new war should be statues of women. Women in the towns organized dances, raffles, bake sales, and contests to raise money for the war effort and raised spirits among the anxious folks on the home front. They knitted and sewed, trying to keep the soldiers supplied with warm clothes. They prepared food boxes to give to soldiers passing through on trains. When the trains started returning from battles filled with wounded and dying soldiers, the women set up hospitals. The Wayside Hospital in Columbia gave assistance, food, or medical care to about 75,000 soldiers. Women served magnificently as nurses and, no doubt, saved many a fallen stranger from dying of his wounds. Unfortunately, the experience women gained in their new roles was not valued once the war was over and roles returned to normal. Rich versus poor. Suffering among white Carolinians was most acute among the small farmers and the working poor in the towns. Shortage of food was often a problem, especially in the war's later stages. In 1864, a woman in Columbia reported that even potatoes were a luxury she had not enjoyed for months. Suffering multiplied if the men of the family were in the army, being paid only $11 per month if they were privates. Near the end of the war, $11 would buy only about one bushel of corn. The poor, no doubt, noticed that somehow the rich managed to obtain most of the necessities and some of the luxuries of life. The rich could pay the high prices required by the blockade runners. Early in the war, the cry arose that this was a rich man's war and a poor man's fight, meaning that the rich men decided to go to war and the poor men did most of the fighting and dying. The poor noticed the unfairness of the military draft. One male in a slaveholding family was exempt from service for every 20 slaves the family owned. Also, a man who could afford it could legally hire another man to take his place in the army. Hired substitutes were not common in South Carolina, but still were symbolic of class divisions. Scarcity on the home front. Shortages and high prices often were caused by hoarding and speculation. Hoarding is collecting and hiding a large amount of something valuable. Speculation is buying and selling things in hopes of a large profit, but with the risk of a large loss. Hoarding and speculation were considered unpatriotic because they ignored the desperate needs of so many people. Failure of the Confederate government to control these practices weakened support for the war. Scarcity of many goods brought more suffering as the war wore on. Salt and leather were probably the most damaging shortages. Salt was essential in the preservation of meat in the days before refrigeration. Scarcity of leather meant that shoes and boots, saddles and harnesses were in critical short supply. Ammunition for hunting was hard to come by. Medicine, meat, flour, candles, and soap were difficult to get, along with the less necessary but desirable sugar and coffee. Money and inflation. The Confederate government printed lots of money, but it bought less and less as the war dragged on. The value of paper money depends largely on the amount in circulation and the confidence of people in the government's ability to back it up. Too much money was in circulation, and South Carolinians' confidence in the Confederate government in Richmond was about as scarce as salt or sugar. Prices went up much more rapidly than wages. For example, in the year 1862, prices in the South went up 300%, that is, they tripled, while wages went up only 55%. When prices rise rapidly and money buys less, the condition is known as inflation. The Confederacy experienced runaway inflation, 9,000% by 1865. The wages people were paid for their work was not enough to pay for the necessities of life. The economic troubles and the desperation of the South's common people were particularly responsible for the collapse of the Confederacy. Many women wrote to their husbands or sons off at war, begging them to come home to prevent the family's starvation. Desertions from the war increased as conditions on the home front became more desperate. Slavery during the war. The condition of slaves, the majority of the population, is harder to determine because most could not write about their situation. Most of them lived on plantations and farms where presumably they could obtain some food. Shortages of salt, meat, flour, and medicine affected slaves as much or more than the white population. From the accounts of owners, the slaves became less reliable, less trustworthy, and more unruly during the war. Slave disobedience or even rebellion was a major worry. With less supervision, most slaves probably enjoyed a bit more freedom than before the war. Many who were close to Union-occupied parts of the state voted with their feet for freedom. Many took advantage of shortages and produced goods for sale and earned money on the side. According to Yankee soldiers' accounts, slaves helped escaping prisoners of war by feeding them and directing them to Union-held territory. Of course, many slaves remained loyal to their owners, either because of affection or fear. But slaves seemed to have a keen understanding of what the outcome of the war meant for them. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form hoarding, speculation, inflation. 2. What measures did the state government take to prepare for a long war? 3. How did women in towns contribute to the war effort? 4.